Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
On this episode, we're getting you ready for March Madness with previews of the Michigan women's draw in the NCAA tournament and the men's in the NIT. Plus, Michigan hockey will play for a Big Ten championship on Saturday. That and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be with you here Monday morning, March 13th. A lot to talk about, especially basketball-wise. Let's start with the men, because there was some uncertainty there heading into last week. Michigan was a bubble team, you know, entering the Big Ten tournament. Most prognosticators had the Wolverines out. A few had them in. A win over Rutgers would be significant, or would have been significant, not just because it would have been a quality win, but it would potentially eliminate another bubble team. Maybe Michigan would have had to beat Purdue the next day too. I don't know. And you know what? We'll never know, because Michigan, which led by three at halftime, made all of one field goal in the first 19 minutes of the second half. There's only 20 minutes and a half, and lost to Rutgers 62-50. Hunter Dickinson was pretty good. Everybody else was pretty bad. And by the time it was over, we sort of knew Michigan wasn't going to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2015. Readers of M Live did know they were headed to the NIT. Juwan Howard was sort of non-committal in his post-game press conference. But as I had reported, someone above him on the food chain had told me on the record they'd be accepting an invitation to the National Invitational Tournament. So that's where they're headed. You know, but even that had some drama. You guys are aware of what happened with the bracket last night?
I did. Yeah. The NIT unveiled the bracket. I actually watched it live. I don't know why I did. Yep. 10 o'clock on ESPNU.
First time ever for me.
Yeah. Yeah. They released the bracket and then they come out afterwards and said they had number two and number three seats flipped. Is that right?
That is correct. I mean, more than an hour later, like, oh, you know, by the way, Michigan's actually the three, Vanderbilt's the two, which is significant because if both those teams win their first round games, you know, Michigan's going to Nashville instead of hosting that weekend game. And it's like, okay. And then you realize, wait, oh, they messed up all of them, all four of those two and three seeds were flopped. And it's just like, really? Like, can you imagine if this had happened with the NCAA tournament bracket? They'd come out and be like, hey, yeah, you know, Michigan State, if you beat USC, you're not playing Marquette. You're actually playing Kansas State. And, oh, yeah, all those others are also wrong.
It just goes to show where the NIT is in the pecking order, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it wasn't even like the number was wrong. Like, they had him in the wrong spot, clearly. Like, the two is supposed to be on that bottom. And it made more sense, you know, the way that it was like, I mean, you couldn't question it. It wasn't like, so egregious, it's one seed line, but it's like Vanderbilt was in the mix, right, for a bid way more than Michigan was. So it seems strange that Michigan was ahead of them in the pecking order. But anyway, Michigan draws Toledo, Toledo team that won 17 in a row at the end of the season before losing the most important one, the MAC championship, to Kent State. Terrific offense for Toledo, outstanding three-point shooting, really bad defense. So I don't know. This might be actually a good matchup for Michigan because, you know, they're not gonna make Michigan really work on offense. And maybe Michigan can just play the free flowing style it wants to, you know, get up and down the court, move the ball around, hit some shots, and, you know, just they have a big man that Toledo can't really match. But I don't know. You always question the motivation, right, in games like this.
100%. You know, you wonder, are they going to come out ready and willing to play? I got to think so. It's going to be a home game. And look, they've already lost to a MAC school this year. So I got to think a second loss to a MAC school would be another embarrassment. So this Toledo team is a lot better than Central Michigan. And I got to say, too, Toledo's really pissed off because they were the MAC regular season champion. They were the favorite in the MAC tournament. And they haven't been in the NCAA tournament in a long time. And I think folks in Toledo thought this was going to be their year. and then they go and lose to Kent State in the final. So I think you got a pissed off Toledo team motivated. You got a Michigan team obviously pissed off because they had to make the NCAA tournament. I don't know how motivated they're going to be, but I got to think the opponent itself should motivate the team.
Man, I thought I was getting a steal at Toledo plus one in the back championship, and turns out I did not beat any closing line value or anything there too, because they got whooped in the MAC championship. So I don't know. I think Michigan's in a roll just solely based off of how Toledo played in the MAC championship and disappointed, and I lost my bet because of them. But other than that, don't know much about them. Michigan already made me break my tradition of looking at the NIT bracket. I literally never do, and then I'm like, well, Michigan's in it this year. I guess I'll check it out. So I'm like, oh, this is a little bit different. Interesting. So, yeah. Ooh, NIT basketball. Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm a crazy person. I think I've showed you guys this in the past. I can't wait to print it out. So, you know, I got to write the whole bracket by hand here. And then, of course, we've got, you know, the NIT that I did this year. Of course, I had to make some changes there at the, you know, before I went to bed. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I had come upstairs, like I was done, you know, I had the women, the men, you know, all various stories. And then I see this tweet, you know, someone retweeted from the Vanderbilt basketball account, which was like, well, turns out we're actually the two. And I was like, oh gosh, I got to go back down and like change this now. This is absurd. We did not get to talk to Juwan or any of the players last night. They did put out, you know, a couple statements, and they're all saying the right things. Like, Juwan, we get a chance to play for a championship. That means something, you know, so we're looking forward to compete again. You know, Hunter Dickinson, another chance to get out there. We are competitors. We have a chance to play for something. We'll go after it. You know, Joey Baker, anytime you get a chance to keep playing, something you want to embrace and be thankful for. Chase Howard, we are still hungry. You know, being able to play with my brothers again means a lot. So
they had that many guys send out statements.
Yeah, three different players provide quotes and one coach. It's more players than we've ever actually gotten, you know, to talk to normally before a game. But
I wonder if the communications department is just like, hey, some guys send me some statements and I can put them out there for this NIT announcement.
Yeah, there you go. So that's their draw. I mean, listen, this is a program that is used to the NCAA tournament and deep runs in it. They've been in the Sweet 16 at least, you know, each of the past five NCAA tournaments. So this is kind of uncharted territory, and there's no shame in it happening in one year. Any one year, it's tough to necessarily guarantee an NCAA tournament spot, but you know, you want to make sure that it doesn't become a trend, right? So we'll see how Juwan Howard and Michigan follow up. You know, I have a story about what maybe went wrong this season on MLive.com right now. And, you know, going forward, there are some questions to answer, of course. Jed Howard, I mean, I'll just say right now, I would not expect him to be back. You know, Kobe Bufkin, that's a tough call. Usually if a guy's projected as a first rounder, they go. It's more often than not the opposite happens, that guys leave too early than stay another year beyond what, you know, they're expected to do. So we'll see about that. That'll obviously be a huge, you know, we'll go a long way in determining what this team looks like next year. Hunter Dickinson, right now you asked me, I actually think he would come back. I mean, why not at this point? But we'll see about that. There'll be more chances to cover this team and maybe ask some of those questions as we wind down.
I do find it kind of funny after that Rutgers game. I mean, typically people don't talk to me too much about Michigan basketball because they know Andrew's the main guy that covers it. But it was funny after that game, like either whether it was in my beer league hockey locker room or even just covering the game on the hockey game on Saturday night, I've had people come up to me like, dude, can you believe the second half of the Rutgers game and just how disinterested this Michigan team did and how they just kind of let Rutgers just kind of walk all over them in the second half. I'm like, to be honest, I didn't pay that close attention, but yeah, it was kind of shocking that with their season on the line, they kind of got outscored by 15 points in the second half. But it was kind of surprising with how kind of distraught some fans were at how Michigan season kind of ended in the final game.
I know the fans aren't happy about Michigan making the NIT, and look, if you're a season ticket holder or you're a diehard or you're a donor, I get it. You know, you're used to getting the NCAA tournament. But you got to look at this too as an opportunity, as the players said in that release, an opportunity for them to play again. You know, some of them to potentially build on potentially what they could do next year if they decide to come back. Mm-hmm. Some of them who are pondering the NBA, this is another opportunity to show scouts that they can play well in an elite level, you know, national television. So it's opportunity for the team again. You know, maybe they can make a run and win the NIT potentially. I know it's nothing for, like, great to celebrate, but it is something. And if you look back, you know, last 4 or 5 years, the NIT champion or the teams that are in the finals tend to follow that up the next year in the NCAA tournament and mm-hmm. play well. So it's opportunity for this Michigan program to try and build something toward next year. Look, and I know the fans don't want to hear that. They don't care about that right now. But, you know, that's where they're at. And you can't change what happened. You can't change the result of the Rutgers game, the Big Ten tournament. So I think from a player standpoint, it's probably the best, you know, the best road for them.
Xavier went and won the NIT last year. Now, you know, they're a 3-seed potential, you know, Final Four dark horse in this year's NCAA tournament. So, yes, it absolutely, that turnaround can happen. The women drew a 6-seed in the NCAA tournament and will play 11-seed UNLV in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. LSU, the 3-seed, is the host there. You know, we've been talking about it for a while. Michigan was trending towards not hosting, and, you know, losing in the second game of the Big Ten tournament to Ohio State kind of sealed that fate. So they get a 6-seed, which means, yes, again, their second game potentially would be a true road game. But I think it's like an okay path for Michigan overall. The UNLV team is interesting. You know, they're ranked in the top 25 right now, and they're an 11 seed. So it's like something doesn't add up there. But, you know, I vote, you know, on the men's side. Like, there often is at the back end of that ballot a lot of, like, all right, I don't really love any of these, you know, middling major conference teams. Oh, there's a team that's, you know, 31-2. Like, all right, sure. You know, they've won 22 straight games, but, you know, the competition just hasn't been there. They only played 2 NCAA tournament teams all year. One was, you know, an automatic bid winner, Hawaii, who's actually the 14 in that little pod. And the other was Oklahoma State, who got a 9-seed, 8 or a 9-seed. They played them on
got
the road
smoked by them.
And lost by 25. Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, this is it's a young coach. Second youngest in women's college basketball. I think she's 33.
Jeez.
But yeah, building the program up there. You know, she was a coach of the year in the Mountain West. They've got 3 players that were on the all conference team. It was a 10 player all conference team, but still 3 of them, including a player that a lot of people thought should have been the player of the year. She wasn't, but you know, definitely could have been their center. Yeah, it could be an interesting matchup. I don't think Michigan will overlook them by any means. But we can look ahead to, you know, that potential matchup with LSU in the next game. So they open Friday, and then they'd be, I think it just actually got announced, I think 3 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah, Friday. And then, yeah, LSU, the 3-seed. It's Kim Mulkey, second year there after being at Baylor. You know, Michigan, you know, faced Baylor, you know, a few times in recent years. You know, Kim Barnes-Arico last night was saying that it must be something about the Kims. They like matching up the Kims. Seems like we're always playing them like around Easter or whatever. But yeah, that's the draw for the women.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Michigan has done a good job at taking care of business against teams it should this year. And so I don't think they're going to have much issue now that they're getting healthier. I know Layla Filia still probably isn't 100%, but at least she's available and playing again. So, I mean, I expect Michigan's the better team, and they've shown when they're healthy that they beat teams that they're typically more talented than. So, but yeah, against LSU, I mean, that's going to be a tough draw. Michigan's kind of struggled against the top tier teams this year, and I definitely think LSU falls into that category. So we'll kind of see what happens. But yeah, like you said, I mean, you never know what can happen come tournament time, and Michigan can't fully overlook UNLV.
Yeah. You know, this LSU team, they started 23-0, but a lot of people were kind of wondering, you know, if they were paper tigers because of, you know, just the schedule. You know, so there was a lot paper of hype with that, tigers, with that matchup with South Carolina, and they get crushed in that game. And then they lost to you know, Tennessee in the conference tournament as well. But, you know, they just didn't play a lot of ranked teams, and that's just the opposite of Michigan. You know, Michigan had 14 games against 11 different, NCAA tournament teams this year. They went 6-8 in those games. Like, as we've documented here, they were unable to break through against those top 4 teams in the Big Ten. But, I mean, you saw the seeds they got. Indiana was a one, Maryland and Iowa two, Ohio State a three seed. So it's like, you know, sometimes I like these teams that they really did well in the non-conference, you know, and like you want to be playing your best right now. But I don't think Michigan like fell apart by any means. You know, injuries played a role and absences and things like that. Like they've got their full roster back, you know, got Layla Filia's feet wet a couple of games in Minneapolis and now, you know, a couple of weeks of rest and rehab. You know, just given what they did on neutral courts and true road environments in the non-conference, you know, winning at Miami, beating North Carolina in Charlotte, like this is a team that I think is potentially dangerous, trying to get to their third straight, you know, Sweet 16. We'll see if they can do it.
You think they do?
Yes, actually, I really do. I do like this draw. I think LSU is a little, again, overrated. Now, granted, you know, the fact that they got the three seed, I think kind of shows that, you know, the committee didn't think they were maybe as good as their record showed. But yeah, I think the opportunity is there to make another run if they put it together. But yeah, they're gonna have to protect the ball, that's for sure, and probably shoot a little better from three than they had in some of their bigger games this year. UNLV really, they play very hard, you know, man-to-man defense, but from what I've been told, it's not like a full court press generally. That's what Michigan struggled with. Now maybe, you know, seeing that on tape, they might throw some of that out. But yeah, if Michigan can get by the first game, I think they really do have a chance to pull off the upset. That was their path 2 years ago, as you remember. They were the sixth and in SEC country and knocked off Tennessee on their home court. So we'll see if they can do it again. But yeah, this is my favorite time of year. It's a different vibe yesterday for me. You know, usually it's like, all right, where am I going to be going? You know, where's Michigan going? Where am I going? This year is a little different, kind of knowing they were, you know, the men's team at least was going to be at home. So I will not be traveling to Baton Rouge, but we'll kind of figure things out as we move along here in the postseason. The hockey team will be playing for a Big Ten championship on Saturday, right, Zook? I really, really was locked into basketball this weekend, so I do count on you for this update here.
Yeah, I mean, they came through with one of the best games I've seen them play all year at the biggest time of the year. Ohio State had given them trouble all season, and Michigan came out, scored on the first shift of the game, and we talked earlier about how important it was for them to get that number two seed and finish second in the Big Ten. They were able to do that in the last regular season series, edging out Ohio State. And that means they got to host Ohio State in the semifinal. And I think that played a huge difference. I mean, Yost was absolutely rocking from the drop of the puck. And when Michigan scored on that first shift, it's like, oh boy, like, all right, like Michigan built off that momentum. The OSU goalie led in a really soft goal on the second goal a few minutes later. And once you see that, it's like, all right, start firing pucks on net. And Michigan had over 40 shots throughout the game, was played better defensively, didn't turn the puck over as much. And yeah, I mean, won 7-3. And I mean, if you go back to their quarterfinal game two, they got up three goals early in the second period and then let Wisconsin, who is not even close to the team Ohio State is, come all the way back to tie it. For Michigan won in the last 3 minutes. They kept the foot on the gas Saturday. Every time that Ohio State maybe potentially got back into it, cutting the deficit to two goals a couple times, and Michigan answered every time to kind of restore that three-goal cushion. So that's what you want to see at this time of year, a huge win. And they had a potential possibly hosting the Big Ten championship because they were the early semifinal game. The Michigan State and Minnesota played right afterwards, and if Michigan State upset Minnesota, they would have hosted the Spartans in a Big Ten championship, which would have been wild. But instead, Minnesota, the number one team in the country, got down 1-0 early, and then kind of just exploded for four goals, I think, and won 4-1. So Michigan will be traveling to Minneapolis in a rematch of last year's Big Ten championship. Both teams got a ton of talent, NHL draft picks up and down the lineup. And both teams are going to be number one seeds in the NCAA tournament as well, regardless of what happens here in the Big Ten championship. But obviously the Wolverines would like to build and repeat as Big Ten champs and get that positive momentum heading into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I remember they went to Minnesota and they lost the first, won the second when they were on that trend of doing that, you know, when they're, you know, in the middle of the season. Is that right? Is that what I'm remembering?
Yep. So they came back from winter break, got absolutely blown out by Ohio State 7-3 or 7-2, their most lopsided loss of the year. Came back and won the following night, and then split with Minnesota on the road, and then rattle off six wins after that series too. So mm-hmm. I mean, it's a tough environment to play in. I'm sure it'll be a sellout crowd, 10,000 plus at Minnesota. I mean, they're hockey crazed there. It's going to be a very enticing, intriguing matchup and a good tune-up for both teams heading into the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely. And then when is that bracket announced? The next day?
Yeah, Sunday. Yeah.
Very so nice.
And another thing, too, is by beating Ohio State, I mean, if Michigan lost, they have that kind of – they're off this week and have that two-week break until the NCAA tournament. So it's all – I know head coach Brandon Rodgers was like, yeah, that's a big thing to continue to practicing with purpose and looking forward to something. And I think that will definitely help their case, too. I mean, you don't really want a two-week break heading into the NCAA tournament. So this should be a – should bode well for the Wolverines. I mean, I think the Big Ten does it wrong. I think they shouldn't have one game one weekend and the championship the next. I think like they should do like the NCHC have the semis and finals the same weekend. But it is what it is. A different distraction for a different day. But yeah, it should be a fun one on Saturday.
All right. Well, we will have our brackets at least on the men's side. Posted on mlive.com. All the college sports writers get to do it. Any early thoughts, you know, from either of you? I don't know. Big upsets, you know, you've locked in a national champion, anything like that, or we gotta wait for Wednesday.
I mean, the fact that both of my NCAA champion picks the past 2 years have lost first round, I'm just dreading even looking at and diving into the bracket because I just have no confidence right now after the last 2 years. So
Ryan, if you want to follow someone's bracket, yeah.
just fade Ryan's bracket. He's opposite what he did everything. I will say, I put mine together this morning, at least the first one. I'm sure I'll do others as the week goes on. But I had a hard time finding a lot of like big upsets in the first round. I did have some, I think some 10 seeds beat some sevens, but I mean, I didn't have a ton. I didn't have like a 13 beating a four or a 15 beating a two. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I think there are a couple spots where I think it's possible, but I don't know. Given how crazy college basketball has been this year, I guess I mean, maybe many of us are expecting a lot of upsets and maybe it's going to happen. I don't know. But I kind of had a lot, at least a couple one seeds in the final four. I really like Alabama. I know they've been going through a lot of all season off the court turmoil, but they're still playing incredible basketball. I think they're probably the most talented team in the country. So I'm riding Alabama, at least for now.
What kind of scares me a little bit with these number one seeds is I think every number one seed kind of has something, an interesting storyline going on right now, because doesn't Houston have some injury concerns? Kansas has Bill Self that's been sidelined. Purdue is Purdue in the NCAA tournament. And then like Aaron mentioned, Alabama has a lot of off the court issues going on. So it's like, do I trust all the number one seeds this year? I don't really know. So I definitely have to do some research, but right now I couldn't even tell you a team that I'm leaning towards.
And the Big Ten is interesting. I mean, they got, eight teams in when all was said and done. Rutgers kind of a surprise, viewed as a snub by a lot of the, you know, folks, you know, making bracket projections. But you know, as anticipated, you got six of those teams are between the 7 and 10 seed range. You know, a lot of seeds that on paper at least maybe win a game but not get to the second weekend. And that's kind of what we talked about. Does this Big Ten have a team you know, that can make a deep run? Purdue's obviously a one seed, you know, Indiana, you know, as a four seed, you know, maybe could do it, but you know, they're after that, it would have to be, you know, a major surprise. It would have to show that the Big Ten really was better than people thought, that even the teams that finish, you know, with those like kind of 500 records can make a run. I mean, maybe that is a Michigan State. Maybe it is an Iowa. Maybe Penn State stays hot. I don't know. I'm not sure I'm seeing it, but that's what makes this, you know, event so fun.
Yeah, I don't have a Big Ten team in the Elite Eight. I think I had Purdue going out in Sweet 16. I'm not expecting a big run from a Big Ten team, but I wouldn't be shocked either. I mean, given the season we've seen, it wouldn't surprise me if any team from like the Big Ten or the Big 12, they get there. I mean, they've been two strong conferences, top to bottom, a lot of teams in tournaments. Either way, it's gonna be fun couple of weeks of basketball. It always is, and I think this year maybe perhaps more than previous year.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be covering it from all angles on MLive.com/Wolverines. So stay tuned for that. And thanks for listening.